Gracious Eternal Father, we honor and appreciate you this morning, Lord, for another privilege that you have given us to appear before you through the access that you have given us, the blood of Jesus Christ that is speaking better things on behalf of your people. Thank you for your grace that we daily enjoy. Thank you for your favor, your blessing. Thank you for so many ways this past week that you have reflected your attributes again to every one of us. There is none of us here present this morning that does not have one testimony or the other of your mercy. Dangers here and there, but you are the one that told us that we should not fear, that you will be with us. And you have faithfully proven that this past week. We bring glory and honor and adoration to you. You say, Lord, blessed be thy name. You have given us the opportunity to come to your house again the first day of the week. Lord, for the betterment of our souls, for our souls cannot be too heavy. What we need, you are the only one that can supply. We have come, Heavenly Father. We pray for grace, Lord, to surrender our heart to you. Because we know you will not call us to come unto you in vain. You said, whosoever comes unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Lord, you have called us by your word. Gracious Lord, meet our needs that no man can meet, Lord. Minister your word to our hearts. Quicken your word to our hearts. Oh God, may we not worship in the flesh. May you, Jehovah, quicken us to be in the spirit. Lord, to truly fellowship with you. Granted, Eternal Father. Lord, the chosen place of worship is Christ Jesus by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Eternal Father, let this be accomplished in our lives today, that we might be true worshipers that you are seeking for, and that you have made provision to make possible. Grant it, Father. Lord, send faith to the heart of the sick, that they might receive their healing that you have purchased. Let the weak, Lord, by faith and inspiration, be able to claim their strength. Lord, let sinners see the blood speaking for them, that they might surrender to you. Lord Jesus, we pray unto you that those in bondage of the devil will see the truth that will set them free. Have your will in our midst, do signs and wonders. Let the yokes of them be broken. Thank you, because Satan's backbone is broken already. May we recognize our positions, Lord. Thank you, Eternal Father. At the end of the entire service of the day, your name alone will be glorified and the blessings will be ours, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise be to God. We welcome ourselves again to the house of the Lord as we open our Bible to Revelation chapter 1, verse 16 to 20. And then we'll read Revelation chapter 5. All right. We'll read from verse 16 to 20. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth, and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. You can please be seated. Revelation chapter 5. I read from verse 1 to 7. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. All right. It's fit, as if I should continue to read. But the Lord had his blessings to the reading of his words. God bless you. By the grace of God, in continuation with the background to the seven seals, in the course of study, I find that this very sermon, this text that we have read here, Revelation chapter 5, is the last sermon the prophet preached, a day before the seals. Before I started preaching the seals. The bridge between the seven church ages and the seven seals. That's the title of the sermon that we read the scripture, the text for. And that's what our prophet brought before us. So we want to travel through that a little. Bring some important things, because this is the bridge between the seven church ages and the seven seals. So, and what's the bridge? The bridge between the seven churches, that's a break. It's a break between the two of them. So the prophet, by virtue of his ministry, is bringing that before us to see what happened in the seven church ages before we go into the seals, so that, we'll be able to understand when the seals come, then we can reflect it back to what happens in the seven churches. From here, we begin to see the great wisdom of God that is beyond the normal understanding of a man. Where? Let me bring this before us. Or remind us that in the educational setting, from the nursery to the university, the principle of teaching is that you start from the simple to the complex. That's the principle of teaching. You start from the simple to the complex, whatever level of education. Even at higher level of education, when they are talking about the complex, they still refer you to your background. They tell you that you have been taught this to remind you that you have the prerequisite knowledge of what you are now being taught. We see this great wisdom displayed in the prophet. Having not been a scholar, Having not been trained in the educational way. Praise be to God. And that is because God is dealing with his people. And that is because God knows how to begin things for his people to have an understanding of what he's doing. And we appreciate God for this, because you can imagine without the background, all that the prophets have talked about, and he just come up one day and he said he want to preach on the seven seas, which he did one time. He preached the seven seas for one day. The seven seas. He preached it in the sermon. He told us in the course of the revelation of the seven seas. He called it revelation of them because they are really not preaching. They were things revealed to him that he came to speak. Those things that were revealed to him, they are the things that he preached in the seas. That's why it's called the revelation of the seven seas. Praise be to God. And so, by the grace of God, last week we were trying to look at, you know, the supernaturals that surrounded, this preaching. I mean, that preceded this revelation of the seven seas that is before us. And last week we spoke about how this mystery cloud came about. It was the fulfillment of the blast, of the vision of the blast that the prophet saw when he fully came into manifestation, that he saw the angels coming, you know, and then picking him up into a pyramid, seven angels. And then they told him that it is time now for him to return to Jeff for the mystery of the seven seas are about to be open. So he has to return to Jeff to go and get ready to preach on them. That's when the prophet truly understood all the visions, all the dreams and the rest of it. And, you know. And when the angels were going, when they left him, you know, they took him up and then brought him back. And then when they were returning back, they went in the clouds and then they formed this in the sky. It was not the photographer of a believer. It was not the believer that captured this picture. It's the scientist. And when Abraham, when they got this picture, the Spirit of God told him to turn it this way. And then he was able to see the face of Jesus Christ. So for people to really understand it, they have been able to superimpose the real face of the old man, this old man's face, to this side, only turning to this side, that he was looking toward this way. You can see the hair this way. And the prophet went further to talk about this white hair on him. So in the course of the seven seas, by the grace of God, we'll be talking more about that. Now, these are not just cunningly devised fables that somebody sat in a corner and manufactured. Because the prophet told us it is one thing for a man to speak, to say God told me, to say God did this, and it's another thing for God to come behind what that man said and vindicating it, giving him proofs. You talk about the pillar of fire. Here we have it. He's been talking about it, and we know how this came about. You see, it was God that was vindicating him. A man argued that there was no divine healing. Dr. Best, a PhD holder in theology, who should know better? Who should know better? A PhD in theology? But that tells you his philosophy, they teach them. Well, it's not only him. There are many of them that are theologians like that eventually believe the message, that believe the truth. So he's just a man that, is ordained to go that way. That's just his lot. Whether you are a PhD holder or you are the most stark illiterate, it is election that matters. So you'll be a stark illiterate and you are a stark unbeliever. Don't believe God
and you could be as educated as Brapo, and you're a believer. So education does not count. The fact that a man is educated doesn't mean that he will not be a believer. And the fact that a man is a stark illiterate does not mean he's going to be a believer. It is the election of God. Brapo is a proof of that. Bro Peter, the prophet told us he could not write sign his name after he has sold fish to those who wanted to. He couldn't sign his name. In other words, he was on land, illiterate. Yet the key was given to him. The key of the kingdom was given to him. So among the Gentiles, the first person to receive the Holy Spirit, he was the one that opened the door for them. In Cornelius' house, in Samaria, and other places. He was the one. He could not sign his name. Here came another messenger, because he was the messenger to the circumcision. And then God brought another messenger again, who is a messenger to the uncircumcision, to the Gentiles, Brapo. And he was a scholar. It's God's choice. It's not what the man determines. It's whatever God wants to do, that what he does. He's sovereign. You can't influence his decision. Praise be to God. God trained Brapo that way to make use of him that way. So God, who allows his children to pass through one experience to the other, has a reason for it. It's not a waste. Praise be to God. So we thank the Lord this morning for the opening of our eyes to know that we are hearing, thus saith the Lord. When we come to church, when we listen to the tape, we are hearing direct truth. Not human opinion. We don't have any cause to doubt that what we are hearing is God's truth. We know it is God's truth. Except it's not revealed to us. God bless you. And so, this morning, we just want to look at a few things from this bridge. But a little thing caught my attention while I was trying to prepare for this. The bridge, but it's still part of the background to the revelation of the seven seals. Praise be to God. So, paragraph 23. No, let's read from 21. And the prophet says, so now, being in prayer, now, just before we approach the book, let's talk to him with our heads bowed. We are prayed. Lord Jesus, we are altogether insufficient. We could not try by no means to approach this sacred book in this most holy hour, which souls hang in the destination of time, without asking, Lord, that the only one that can reveal this book, that he come forward now, blessing the feeble efforts of thy servants. Bless the word as it goes forth. May it go on in the power of the Spirit, and may the spiritual grant of those who are hungry and thirsting to know righteousness and to know the will of God, may it fall in there and bring forth of his kind. Grant it, Lord. All praise shall be thine. May the hungry and the thirsty find food and drink tonight or this morning from the word. We ask it in Jesus' name, of whom the revelation is of. Amen. Now we are going to run. We are going to turn to the fifth chapter. That is the book of Revelation. We've done that. This is not the seven seals. It is the bridge between the church ages and the seven seals. Now, there is the sixth chapter. And there was the first chapter, rather, of Revelation. And in that, it kind of reveals something that will take place after the church goes up. That the church goes up on the third chapter, that is the fourth, the prophet means the fourth chapter, the first Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. And does not return until the 19th chapter of Revelation. See, therefore, the church misses the tribulation. I know that's contrary to pretty near every teacher I've ever talked to. I don't mean to be disagreeable. I mean to be your brother. But I must teach just as I can see it. If I don't, I can't put it together, you see. And now, whether he goes up before the tribulation or after the tribulation, I want to go up with it. That is the main thing. Amen. But the prophet is driving a point there, making that statement there, that the most important thing is to get prepared to go in the rapture. Whether it's going to be before tribulation or after the tribulation, but we know it is not after the tribulation. It is before the tribulation. So the prophet went further to establish that. And that's what we want to consider as we continue. See, so those things, we are just presuming, because without education, Brother Abraham now brings his background down to us. The grace, you see, most times the problem is that without education, I am a typologist. It's not just his ability. I want us to get that this morning. It is the disposition of Brother Abraham as a prophet. Are you with me? I want us to get that. When Brother Abraham said that, I don't have an education, I'm only a typologist. You don't have any other person like him that type. And many people type, they type out of the scripture. They type out of the scripture. And he told us that when you are typing, he said, mind where you type. Because you can paint a picture of a cow hitting grass on the tree. Do you find a cow eating grass? How does it get there? Then you know that's hot. It's not possible. So when you are typing, there must be something resident in you to guide you, to connect scriptures together, to paint a clear picture of God's mind, what he was doing in the Old Testament for you to have a proper understanding of the New Testament. Because the Old Testament is a shadow of the New. And a shadow is a cast of the original. So the prophet said, being a typologist, so and I'm saying that being a typologist is not just his disposition, ordinary disposition. It's a disposition of him being by virtue of being a prophet. Amen. You see, when we are able to settle down in our mind that this man that we talk about, the messenger of the age, is a prophet, not a minor prophet, a dispensational prophet, you will rest your mind. You are not going to argue with anything that he says, even if he runs contrary to what you think is normal. You can't make mistake. In the seven churches, he may not know. He said, who is going to have the power of infallibility? Do you know the meaning of that? Power that is not make mistake, that is not going to have an error. Who is going to have it? Who is going to have it? He said, it is this man. You know, we are grateful to God that our prophet knew his position. He knew his position. He operated fully, maximally. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ did when he was here. He operated maximally in that office. He left nothing. He displayed God in every capacity. In the preaching of the word, in his life, in the manifestation of the Son of Man. Everything that the word that God promised today, he didn't leave anything undone. He fully established, he operated to the fullest capacity, that ministry of a major prophet. And he set the standard for a minor prophet. He set the standard for an apostle. He set the standard for the pastor. He set the standard for an evangelist. He set the standard for the teacher. And that's why we're able to discern the ministry of these people. I tell people, I said, you don't need to ask a man, what's your ministry? Let him stand behind the pulpit. Give him the pulpit. Let him hold the scripture. The gift that is inside of him will manifest if he has it. Because it's a gift. If that gift is not there, it won't manifest. Because the preacher preaches by gift that is in him. So when he preaches and you are in doubt of what the ministry of this man is, I don't understand that. Well, if the man is still coming up a little bit, you may still be doubting. But when he fully have spent time and you have seen this, you should be able to, when you hear him for about 10 minutes, you should be able to know that this is the ministry of this man. But if I'm in a place and I hear a man for 30 minutes and I cannot make out what his ministry, I will meet him. I will say, sir, are you this? Are you this? I will meet him. Because I want to know what's your commission. You know, the gift is your commission. Well, I didn't plan going this way. But it's part of it. Because we are talking about the prophet who has opened our hearts to see things. The man who is gifted is operating, is, if he doesn't have a gift of any of these five, he has no commission. What is he operating with? As what? Is he as an apostle? Is he as an evangelist? Is he as a pastor? Is he as a teacher? Or is he as a prophet? If he doesn't have any of the gifts there, he cannot operate. So you'll be an impersonator. So our prophet has set those things for us, and that makes us to understand the ministry of these people. And when we understand their ministry, then we draw from their ministry to get blessed from it. Praise be to God. And so these things, when the prophet says, we just are presuming, he's not talking about himself. That up till now, people have been presuming a whole lot of things. Because what we must understand is that the prophet is said to come and tie the loose ends. Those loose ends are the presumptions from the passages. When the truth of the gospel gradually slipped away from their hands. Bro Jude was the one that told them, he said, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And because, like Paul said, he said, ravenous wolves will enter into your midst, and from there things will happen. It happened in the course of the ages. That's where so many things were introduced, and the rest of it. So the prophet said, we presume it. Without education, he said, I type. I look and see what is or has been in the Old Testament, which is a type or a shadow of the new. Then I have some idea what the new is. It's not just natural. You see? Like Noah went into the ark before the tribulation set in. Now the prophet is coming to establish now that the church will not go through the great tribulation. The church will go in the rapture before tribulation set in. The prophet began to tell us that he sees the type of it in the Old Testament. That the church today will not go through the great tribulation that is ahead. Because in the Old Testament, the saints of God escape it. So if God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what he started doing then, it will change when it comes to the New Testament. When we, in the course of talking about the background of the seven churches, that's the first thing we started talking about. That God has a pattern that he does not deviate from. So Abraham, by virtue of being a prophet, was able to understand the setting of the scripture, the positioning of the scripture, how the scripture aligned and run together. So that ability is what, you know, makes these things to work out like this. He said, Noah went into the heart before the tribulation, setting a type. But even before Noah, see? Before Noah went into the ark, Enoch went up. You get it? So Abraham told us Noah was a type of two. Noah typed the bride in a certain way because he was in the ark. He didn't participate in the flood. He was carried over. There was one. He also used him as a type of the remnant that will be in the great tribulation. But they will come out at the end of the day. The 144,000. The prophet also talks about them. And then Abraham now says that here, before tribulation set in, I mean before the water fair, Enoch had already gone. That's even a perfect type of the bride. Abraham said, before the flood came, Enoch had already gone. That Enoch type the bride. Alright? See? He went in the ark. Enoch, before Noah went in the ark, Enoch went up. See, before anything happened. And Lot was called out of Sodom before one speck of tribulation set in. Lot in Sodom. Before the water, before the fire fell, before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, God went through the angels to bring Lot out. Forget about the angels that went there. That was not the picture. Are you getting me now? The prophet is getting us to know that the people that God wanted to rescue when his judgment was coming, the people that he wanted to rescue didn't participate in it. And that was why he told us in John chapter 5 verse 24 that he that heareth my word, let's have the scripture. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, which is eternal life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The prophet said that condemnation means judgment, shall not come into judgment. And the prophet said the great tribulation is a period of judgment for the people. It's a time of, God's wrath being released upon the sinners that will be here. It's really not mine for Israel, but that was the way God arranged it by that time. Because God does not deal with the Jews and the Gentiles at the same time. So he has to take the Gentiles out, then to deal with the Jews. And that is within great tribulation according to the revelation given to Daniel. Praise be to God. It was punishment for the sinners. And so, that scripture we hold. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, but shall never come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. The prophet said, what do you marry your wife and take her through problem? He said, we are receiving our judgment as we are set here. He said, judgment begins in the house of God. So as you hear God's word, the word of God corrects you, it slashes you, it slaps you on the face, slap you on the back, gives cane on your bum and give you thorough beating. Why? That we might line up. We are receiving our judgment here that we will not be condemned with the world. So if we reject that judgment here, then that one will be waiting for us. So it is when we get the judgment here, that judgment is telling you don't go in the way of the world. For the Bible says, he that loves the world and the things of the world, the law of God is not in him. He said, the world passes away and the laws thereof. And anyone who loves the world will perish with the world. So, God is sending his word to set his people free by the preaching of the gospel. Praise be to God. Lot went call out of Sodom before one speck of the tribulation set in or destruction. But Abraham was all the time out of it. Are you there? See another how he came out with that. Abraham was not in Sodom. Before fire fell, Israel was completely out of Sodom. He was not there at all. Which is also a type of Enoch and Noah. Noah, to escape the flood, enter into the ark, which is also a type of bride in another way. Lot is also another type of the bride in another way, being brought out of Sodom before fire fell, going in the rapture before great tribulation. Then Abraham now went further to let us see a better type, that Abraham was not even in Sodom where fire fell. Abraham is a perfect type of the bride there also, just like Enoch was also a perfect type of the bride that went in the rapture before flood came. Hallelujah. So we now move forward here to read, to see. Then all right. Okay. Now paragraph 34. Let's just read this and then we close. Now, John was commissioned to write what he saw, as we read in Revelation chapter 5. So the apostle and prophet pick up his pen to write it down. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, So let's come to 28. Sorry, please. I just want us to read that. We will pause there for a few moments from reading of Revelation chapter 5 down to including verse 7. That's why. This seven sealed book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation chapter 10. This seven seal book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation chapter 10. It is in Revelation chapter 10 that the thunder uttered his voice. I decided not to read it because I know we are coming there, but I didn't know that the time would not be sufficient for us. Now, if you are marking it down, let's turn to Revelation chapter 10, just a moment, so you will get an understanding before we go into it. Now, this is at the end time. I saw another mighty angel came down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. If you notice, that is Christ. See, because he in the Old Testament was called the angel of the covenant and is directly coming to the Jews now, for the church is finished. By the grace of God, from here, we continue. We'll go for that. The Lord bless you. Let's bow our heads.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for sparing our lives to see the beginning of another week. We thank you for the week that just ended. We are grateful for how you kept us throughout the week, your protection upon our lives, our daily provisions of our needs. Thank you for the blessings upon us in the services, both the tape service and the one we conducted here. We are very grateful. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for bringing us together at the beginning of another week again today. Thank you for the storehouse. You told your prophet to store the message for the bride. We have need of it. The entire Bible, O God, was written and put together as the holy men of God were writing, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Your prophet interpreted and told us it was the prophet that wrote the Bible. And that is the entire program of the Almighty God. Each time you send a prophet to a generation, and your people recognize him, Lord, it is a blessing unto them. We are very grateful at your word that have been given unto us is not from the mouth of theologians, but the people, the very men unto whom the word of God comes to. Help us to believe it, apply it to our lives, transform our lives, give us rapturing faith, make us ready for the rapture. Thank you for the portion of this morning again, the Sunday school. May you find its resting place in our hearts. Thank you, Father. Bless your servant and replenish him for the virtue that has left him while we are in expectation for what you further have for us in the services ahead. We love you, Father, because you first of all loved us. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.